Let us pray before we start. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for you have opened our ears, Father, to hear. As Lord, we have received the revelation of Jesus. Now we know we can understand. The eyes of our understanding are now opened. And now we can hear what the Spirit says. We thank you for this privilege, Lord. So we say, speak to us even this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word that penetrates in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for writing it in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you as we glorify you, Father. You are receiving all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, some months ago, the Lord gave me the word Evangeline. And I believe that that is who we are as Fountain of His Word. We are carrying the Word of God. It's the good news of the grace of God. It's the good news of the finished work of Christ. And that is not only within these walls, but it goes beyond where we cannot even see. So we thank God that Word is reaching. We believe that His Word goes forth from this place, and He has ordained that to be, and He has called us to speak and to preach His good news. The title of the word says, A Believing Heart. It's based on the story of Rahab. But just before we go into the story, I'd like just to give the definition of some hearts that I've come to understand in the Bible through the word of God. I've come to understand the evil heart of unbelief. And the evil heart of unbelief, even as a Christian, you might have it because it's just unbelief. And it's evil because it's not receiving the things of God. But you may be born again and you may have an evil heart of unbelief. And then there's also a hardened heart. You know, in the Bible, the Lord said to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And we were privileged this past week that we learned here that even Christians may have hardened hearts. It can come because we're not acknowledging what the Lord is doing. We just go on, God does this. We're not even aware, but we should be aware because we connect with God with our hearts. Then I also understand that there is this believing heart. And that's the heart that we have because we have believed. We have believed the God that we have not seen. We have believed the work of Jesus Christ that we hear about. And for us, it is so real because we know the impact that has done in our lives. And even the Bible says, Jesus said to Thomas, those that will receive this word, that will believe without having seen, are blessed. So there is a blessing that comes to the believing heart. So I will then be focusing on the believing heart this morning. Why the focus on the heart? It is very important to look into the heart because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So this is where we connect with God. God decided that He will not dwell in temples. He decided to dwell in our hearts. And everything that He does in us, in our hearts. So we have this big, big, big heart as believers. Because now the God of the universe in His Spirit lives in us. So the Lord says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So He dwells in us and He is great. Amen. And the other thing that we understand by the word of God, in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, the Lord said, I will remove the heart of stone and I will give them the heart of flesh. And even when it talks about the great work of salvation, He says, I will write my laws in their hearts. No one will be teaching them no God anymore, but they will know me from within. And their sins and unrighteousness I will remember no more. That is because of the work that will be done in our hearts. And we are so privileged and so honored that in the book of Hebrews, it confirms that that's the done deal now. We have already that that work that has been done in our hearts. And the Lord does not remember our sins anymore because he has sent Jesus for us. And he now dwells in us by his Spirit. And he has done this wonderful, wonderful work of putting his laws in us. And by his Spirit, we can now be led by the promptings. And we now can know that we are accepted before the Lord. We know that he remembers our sins no more. We may fall, we may sin, but that is taken care of. The Lord has redeemed us completely. Amen. Yes, the Lord now tabernacles. The Bible says he's no longer in tabernacles or in temples that are built with hands, but he is in our hearts. So with that background, let's go and read the story of Rahab. It's in Joshua chapter 2. This story, it's a story of the wonderful grace of God. You hear as you read Rahab, it clearly says Rahab was a harlot. And no matter who you are, no matter what is your profession, because she was a professional harlot, it was known, the king was using her to really be on guard because her house was even at the entrance of the city. So it was known. So it was a professional work that she was doing as a harlot. And here you find a story of God reaching out to somebody that is a pagan, is not close to God, it's somebody very, very far. But just the grace of God is seen in this story. In chapter 2 of Joshua, from verse 9, I'm not reading the background, I'll just start from verse 9. Rahab hid the spies as the Israelites were coming in. They came and slept at her place, and then because she had known what has happened with the people as the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, she just had this reverential fear of the Lord. I'm starting from verse 9. And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. So the hearts of the whole nation melted. Neither there remained any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That is a heart that has just been touched by the wonders of the works of God. It just acknowledges that these victories are not because just these people are performing it. She just knows that it's your God. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord. I will just want to stop there. She emphasizes that the Lord. And we understand that in the Bible from Genesis, God is mentioned as God until there is man and there is that relationship. God now has a man, and the word Lord is used as to confirm the relationship as the covenant God with man. So the word Lord is a significant word to be used here. She just doesn't say God. She says Lord. From verse 12, now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she led them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. That is very significant. She was on the city wall and she dwelt on the wall. So she wasn't downstairs, she was on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Verse 17, so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head and will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. So it is very interesting that her house was on the wall. And we know the story of Jericho's fall, that the main thing was how would they conquer Jericho. In the physical, it was how would they conquer Jericho because they are strong walls. Mm-hmm. So those people were well protected. And it is so interesting to know that her house was on the wall. You continue to read the story, and then in Joshua 6, the destruction of Jericho. So they started with the strategy of the Lord. The Lord said, you are going to walk around the city. Mm-hmm. Just walk for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you shall blow the horns and make a shout, and the walls will fall. But they didn't know that. They just had that instruction. And Joshua was guiding the nation, hearing from God. Joshua 6, verse 14. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, each and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And that's how it happened. The walls fell. What Rahab had done, she put that scarlet cloth she was given by the messengers. You can just imagine the people have been anticipating. They are now waiting for these people to come and attack. And they see that over these days, they are just moving around and then they're going back. But then this day or the seventh day, they come in the morning and they do that. They may not even be aware this time around. And what happens is that the walls fell. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So those are Israelites going in. The town now is flat, but that city house that has a scarlet cloth is not destroyed. So everything around it is flat. That is the power of God. And they utterly destroyed everything. And then they went inside. I'm reading from verse 23. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. This is a wonderful rescue story. And it just shows the hand of God for protection and for rescue of this lady because she has asked and because she has believed. So I just want to highlight before I continue, this believing heart, it has trusted in God and it has honored God by even calling the Lord, Lord, because she sees that the Lord is with these people and I love their God. You know, that is honor to say, I respect the God of these people. And basically, she was in a repentant state to acknowledge that the God that I'm serving, we are going down, it's so clear. So she's changing her thinking. She is looking unto the God that saves. It's like putting that SOS thought when there's a distress. Maybe people are attacked, but they can't say anything. Oh, it's war. You can see such things in movies where people throw a cloth, writing it SOS, showing that there's danger happening inside there. So that cloth was like saying, rescue, rescue me here. I need salvation. And she wanted to be with the winning God. It could have been anybody else if they knew that they can be on the other side. But anyway, they didn't know because she chose to believe in their God. She was rewarded by her family being rescued, her life being spared. Even her home was not destroyed when the walls were falling down. So the Lord showed great salvation. And I just want to read verse 25. It says, and Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, I've realized when the Bible says to this day, it's like a continuous thing. The Holy Spirit put that word so that it just shows. When it says to this day, the Holy Spirit knew that we'll be reading this thousands of years. Mm-hmm. But it says to this day. So it's still the present word in that sense to say to this day. Mm-hmm. And it is like a monumental thing that she lives. And we now understand as we look back, as we now know the story of Jesus Christ, we now know that she lives in Israel. Yeah. And even as a great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. Mm. So that is the rescue that God gave her. And I would like us to look at that rescue and that salvation. There are many such stories in the Bible where there is the salvation of the Lord that is brought through a person that just believed, like even Ruth, that she just believed in the God of her mother-in-law and she wanted to go with her so that she can serve God. She said, your God shall be my God. I want us to look at the reward that the Lord gives to those people with such hearts, their hearts that believe in him. It's not just the reward of the now. It has eternal outcomes because he ensures that you are greatly rewarded. And the Bible in Hebrews, it says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what and where we are as well. We are believing God and he rewards us more than what we can even ask. And when I thought about this and I meditated on this, I said, Lord, you rescued her. She just wanted salvation. And you gave her dignity. You gave her a husband. You made her a mother of children. And you gave her more than what she could even ask, a lineage in the Messiah. Amen. You know, it is more than what she could ask or think of. And that's according to Ephesians 3, verse 20, that the Lord's blessings and the Lord's doing in our lives is beyond what you can even ask or imagine because of the power that works in us. That power continues to work in our hearts. We do not see that power working, but it is his power that works in us, that believing heart that we have. And he uses us, you know, just that believing heart, despite even our unbelief, he continues to work in us as we believe. Amen. Amen. So, as we're looking at the now, looking at how marvelous the salvation that God has given us. You know, it is still open. This God who has made a plan from the foundations of the earth that we will be saved through Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah 45, are so many scriptures that one can look at into confirming and understanding the plan of salvation. But in this mighty, mighty work that God did in delivering Israel and in showing the nations, because that was his plan, that I will show the nations that I am God and I am with you. And Isaiah 45, 21, part B, so it's just the last drop of 21, I'll start there, and then to verse 23. It says, I am a just God and a savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath or shall confess. It doesn't end there. It talks about Israel. It shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, all and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. But those who are not incensed shall then see his salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, we have this account of this word as well. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Therefore God has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this invitation of coming to God, he says, come unto me, you will be saved, because he has made that every knee will bow to him. Every judgment will be undertaken by him. So we have the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, that as long as we bow unto him, we shall be saved. Mm-hmm. And every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Mm-hmm. So we may be thinking, no, who is Jesus? I'm just dealing with God. I know about the God Almighty. I'm not accepting his son. But you may be missing it, because it is God the Father that has decided to yield all the responsibility upon his son, so that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is this covenant God. And it is a wonderful thing that his grace is so sufficient for us today. He has made the door open for everyone. Right now we are redeemed from eternal damnation through salvation, because in the book of John, in chapter 6 of John, verse 4, he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, who is the Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That was Jesus talking. Amen. So you will be secured. He knows you. He knows you, and he dwells in you. As I said, he has made an indwelling in our hearts because we believe. So this believing heart opens up for him to have an indwelling in our being. So he lives in you, and he shall raise you up as you believe in him. Amen. Amen. And then even in this lifetime, it's not like only the things to come. He said in John chapter 10 verse 10, I have come that you may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So this is not only for the ultimate end, but it's even for now. That's how it happened with Rahab. She received the salvation of her family. She received the good life and the covering of being with the nation that is walking with God. And she lives in Israel. She started living from that time on, and she was honored as a mother of her children. I mean, imagine, from harlot as a profession to be a mother of your own house. That's restoration in itself. So even with us, the Lord says, I give you life in abundance, and it starts a bit to the full. until it overflows. So we receiving life, it overflows. And then the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 9, that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So accept the gift of God and be saved.
Amen.
Believing in your heart, and in the ages to come we shall be seeing the glory of God being revealed in us.
Amen.
We will be looking and saying, oh, this is what was accomplished by that act that I did. Rahab is looking back to see, wow, my heart of wanting to follow the Lord.
Amen.
It made me to be a grandmother to the Messiah.
Amen.
She never knew. We'll be looking back and seeing these glories. Not only that, but whatever else that the Lord has for us in store, which Nomazulu would not know.
Amen.
So he will be showing us all those things that are in Christ, that we receive in him.
Yes.
So we are blessed now as we believe. We will be blessed in the ages to come. And that's the reward, as we just believe. Amen. Hallelujah. The wonderful thing that the Bible says, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. And now is the time of the Lord's favor. And I looked at some scripture where it talks about the Lord's favor. One scripture that I found in Genesis where Lot was being rescued. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 19, it says, indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. You know, the salvation of our lives, it is the revelation of how much favor we have received in God. Just by seeing that he has rescued us, we are rescued from eternal damnation, and we are now in the household of God. We are restored. In this case, Lot was being rescued from destruction of Gomorrah and Sodom. His life was spared. So the salvation of the Lord is an indication that he has shown us favor, and we have the favor that we find in Christ. He has shown us this favor by saving our lives. And Jesus Christ died a gruesome death to save our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the favor of God to save us. And whew, hallelujah. That salvation that he gave us, it's the favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he has increased his mercy. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just reach out to God.
Mm-hmm.
He is never far. It's just a breath away.
Mm-hmm.
As you pray, calling upon the name of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he is the one that saves, and he can save.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 21, that's what it says. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the book of Acts again, Acts 4, verse 12, the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no other savior,
mm-hmm.
there is no other name but the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16 talks about that. Whoever believes, whoever, you can be anybody, you just believe in the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 9 verse 33, it says, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So that's the reward that you have just by believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, that he is now the savior of the world. He has conquered. There is no one else that was found to be worthy to carry our sins.
Amen.
And to open the scrolls, even in the book of Revelation, it talks about no one else was found worthy because he came as God. And that's a wonderful thing that he himself made a way for us. And that is also in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he himself reconciled us back to him. So we enter into the finished work of God by just believing. Amen. In Romans 10, verse 9-13, the Bible talks about the process of believing. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this heart opens the way for one to believe unto righteousness, unto right standing with God. And that righteousness is a gift to us. We don't earn it. We don't make anything to deserve it. We just believe. And God showed that in this story of Rahab, it's even wonderful because Jesus was not even yet made a sacrifice. So it just showed that even when God was still dealing with Israel, he opened up to the other nations as long as you believe. So if you would have believed, I mean, that nation, if they knew, they wouldn't have gotten distracted. Anybody else in the household, I mean, it was everybody, mother, father, and whoever relatives, they were there and they were saved. From verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, so you say something, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The heart that believes is the heart that connects with God. As we just believe in the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, believe in the Lord your God, you will live. And believe in his prophets, you'll prosper. As you believe in the Lord, it's about the life. You will live.
Amen.
And living as we have spoken here, life in abundance to the full until it overflows. And with the riches that are yet to come.
Amen.
That's the life. And you understand even the cheers thing that is done. It's about raising the glass and drinking to life. We see this in this redemptive plan of God, that clot that was thrown to say, save our souls, save our lives. And that scarlet cloth was protecting, even as you in the story of the Egyptians, when the angel of the Lord was coming, it was a scarlet color that indicated that this one is to be saved. The others that didn't have the scarlet, it was for destruction. So it is by his blood. And the Bible says the Lord looks in the heart. In the book of Samuel, when the Lord was sending the prophet to anoint King David, he said, God doesn't look as men look. He looks into the heart. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8-9, this is a comparison of believing in God. From verse 8, I'm not going to give the background of the story, you can just read it yourself. And then it says, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Because you rely, you're putting your heart, your trust in the Lord. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him.
Amen.
In this you have done foolishly, therefore, from now on you shall have wars. So in this case, these guys did not trust the Lord. But the Bible says his eyes are on those,
Amen.
Looking into the hearts of those who are loyal unto him. So let us connect in our hearts with
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In conclusion, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it runs the issues of life. And the Bible says he is a faithful God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23. The title there says, hold fast to your confession. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. So with our hearts we draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. And whatever evil conscience that we have, the blood covers that, takes care of that, and we are cleansed by the washing of the water by the word of God. So let us draw near unto God and let us believe. Let's keep nurturing our hearts, the believing hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the word I have for you this morning. Amen.